We as a nation have to be loud and clear that nothing justifies violence against law enforcement. Attacks on police are an attack on all of us and the rule of law that makes society possible. And I know we're about to enter a couple of weeks of conventions where our political rhetoric tends to be more overheated than usual. And that is why it is so important that everyone, regardless of race or political party or profession, everyone right now focus on words and actions that can unite this country rather than divide it further.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is 5:10 and it is Monday, July 18th, 2016. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Welcome to another business day, another Monday in Chicago, around the world, where our focus is on tragedy again with the killings of police officers in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We'll, of course, continue to follow the story throughout the morning with developments as they come into the WGN newsroom and from ABC News. Regardless of your politics, very good advice from President Obama. Our words do mean a lot. It's just the reason we don't say fire in a crowded theater. It's our words do mean a lot. And his advice is something I think we should all heed. Of course, the investigation ongoing into what happened in Baton Rouge will continue to bring you the very latest on what we know. And also following the opening of the Republican convention that's happening this week as well. Both of those things are on our radar today. But first, we begin on the WGN Market Desk with your overnight intel from around the world. As you heard Vic say, the markets generally around the world are mixed. Positive in Asia with the Nikkei up almost 0.5%. In Europe, the indices generally higher as well. Futures in this country pointing higher, but just a little bit. The Dow and NASDAQ S&P futures all up just a bit. Dow up about 21 points again in pre-trade this morning. It was a good Friday in terms of the markets. The markets ended on a positive note. We had some good numbers in terms of retail sales as well as we moved into the weekend. But today and last Friday, even after the attack in France, the markets really didn't react in a way that one would expect them to, especially after the Nice France attack. And Mercadian Asset Management President Ken Kamen thinks he may know the reason for that, because he says that we may be getting used to some of this stuff, and that's not good.
The problem is becoming, it's a recurring tragedy. And probably the most depressing thing I can report to you is that the market is now becoming desensitized to these things.
And as we spent the weekend away from each other, there was a near coup in Turkey, one of our closest partners. The country that is blaming the United States partly for this, and they're demanding the return of a cleric to face charges there. One interesting technical note, business note about this over the weekend, the president of Turkey actually used FaceTime to communicate with his people.
Dinliyoruz biz sizi.
İyi akşamlar.
İyi akşamlar efendim, buyurun.
During the height of the coup, he actually appeared on FaceTime on state television because some of the coup leaders had taken over some of the other broadcast facilities. Pet owners are going to great lengths these days. They're spending tens of thousands of dollars to provide advanced care to four-legged friends. New report says more and more are also buying pet insurance. According to the North American Pet Health Insurance Association, a trade group representing about 12 companies that sell pet insurance, about 1.4 million pets were insured in the U.S. in 2015. That's a 12% increase from 2014. And that brings us to the Allstate CEO Spotlight this morning. In the Spotlight is Rusty Sproat. He is the CEO of a Chicago-based company that sells pet insurance. It's called FIGO Pet Insurance. But it is more than that. There's also a pet cloud, and there are new things coming. Rusty's our CEO Spotlight today, again, sponsored by Allstate. Good morning, Rusty. I think let's start with this, because I think I know what drives you, because I'm a dog person, too. But I think you have to have, in your case, a business sense. And you also have to have sort of a love of dogs, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I have an 11-year-old Boston Terrier named Buster, and he's been with me, obviously. So we got him when he was maybe 10 weeks old, so he's a family member. So,
and that's the way it is with a lot of people. Their pets are our family members.
Yeah. You know, if you Google the humanization of pets, what's happened in the past 10 years, it's fascinating, is that now we're not pet owners, we're pet parents. And it's a $60 billion pet industry. And these pets are not property. They are our family members. And so everything around the health of the pet, the food, the caring, the clothing, the carts, everything about a pet now is humanized. So it's a really interesting transition.
Did the business part of it come first, or the pet part of it, or did they come at the same time?
You know, they came at the same time. I was in real estate for 20 years and did very well in it. And in 2008, I did very bad in it, as everybody did. And I had two kids, and I needed to figure out something else to do. I knew insurance a little bit, got all my licenses. Ironically, I went to Allstate and State Farm. They both wanted me to be agents. I chose Allstate and bought three Allstate agencies in Chicago. So I was in insurance. I used to bring Buster to work with me at the insurance agency every day. And after a couple of years, someone walked in and said they had just bought pet insurance, and my head spun around because I was an insurance agent and I had no idea that they had pet insurance.
Yeah.
And that was back in 2010.
And now it seems that this is a standard thing for a lot of people. They find pet insurance. And I was telling you before we went on the broadcast about my dog. And, you know, the first Labrador Retriever I had, I spent a lot of money on. And so my second Labrador Retriever, insurance has been a godsend.
Yep.
Because when they eat whatever they eat or do whatever they do, it's huge. And so I guess, you know, the question is, how big of an industry is this? I mean, what give us a sense of what
sure.
It is.
So real quick, in 1924, Sweden wrote the first policy. In 1947, the UK wrote its first policy. And it wasn't until 1982 when Lassie was the first insured dog in the United States. So it took a while to adopt and take off. But the past 10 years, the industry's been growing. It's doubled in size in the past 5 years. It's going to be over $700 million in premium this year. But there's 182 million dogs and cats in the U.S., and there's less than 2% coverage. But it's in its infancy right now.
What is fueling that increase, the drive of all these people signing up?
Yeah, so it's interesting. So the humanization of pets with the $60 billion pet industry, and people aren't euthanizing their pets anymore because now they're family members. So 10 years ago, it was very common if you had a pet and it was a $4,000 bill, people had they had a number. How much am I going to spend on my dog? And now, because we've humanized them, these vet specialty hospitals are doing chemotherapy, acupuncture, MRIs, alternative, holistic. There's nothing that they can't do for your pet, but it's expensive. So now people are walking out of veterinary practices and saying, it's a $5,000 knee surgery, and they're calling their mom, their aunt, their sister, and they're finding the money. Mm-hmm. So now the people are recognizing, if I paid $35 a month, I would be covered.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, I'm Dave Schreiber. Asian stock markets were mixed today after Wall Street ended the week up. A Turkish military coup failed and China reported better economic data. The Asian Development Bank says it has cut its 2016 growth projection for developing economies in Asia and the Pacific to 5.6%. That's down from an earlier forecast of 5.7%. The bank added that the economy's performance will remain solid and help offset softness from the U.S. economy and near-term market shocks from Britain's vote to get out of the European Union. The Commerce Department said retail spending was up 2.7% in June from a year earlier. The Labor Department said consumer prices rose a modest 1% in June from a year ago. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow gained 10 points. The S&P slipped 2 points. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
We're back at 5:21 here on the opening bell with our CEO Spotlight today, sponsored by Allstate. In the CEO Spotlight today is Rusty Sproat. He's the CEO of FIGO Pet Insurance. And Rusty, before the break, we were talking about the trends with pet insurance, people buying pet insurance. I wonder if you could talk to me a little bit about how you've taken pet insurance, taken your company FIGO, beyond pet insurance, right?
Yeah. So when I was researching the pet insurance industry, there was two things that I noticed. To me, it was kind of a little hokey. like everything was pawtastic or purrific, or they had stock photos of paws and puppies. We wanted to do something which was more of a lifestyle and something more sophisticated, and there was an absolute complete lack of technology in the space. So in 2012, I mean, lots of people were introducing mobile claims and other value add, value in exchange versus value in use. So I just started brainstorming on what could we do and ultimately provide for free. What APIs or existing technology could we wrap into one really cool app and push out to anyone who wanted to use it? So that's it. Just started from brainstorming on pet GPS devices, and we have an inbox for docs for pets, and online social profiles, and photo feeds, and location-based services, and find businesses, and read if they're pet friendly. So we've wrapped a ton of stuff into one app. And out of the 10 things it does, only two of them are insurance related, which is the fun part.
Yeah, and it is only going to get better. And I was reading about how you're getting ready to add a new version. You're in FIGO version 1, and you're getting ready to go to 2.
Yep. So we've been beta testing the existing version with our customers, and we're about to add a really cool socially connect feature where you can pull up pictures of pets that are location based, how close they are to you. You could find Boston Terriers, you could find Labradors, you could follow people, meet people. We're leveraging some really great other APIs from Yelp and Foursquare, so you can find pet-friendly businesses with photos and reviews and pictures, and it's really going to be an amazing V2. And then we're releasing it for free to anyone who wants to use it.
I was playing with the app before we started the interview, and I have to say I don't give endorsements easily, but I love it because I told you it's all of those things that I find have to put in different places that are in one place.
Yep.
For instance, if my dog who's microchipped gets lost, I have to go dig up that information. You've made that easily accessible there.
Or if you change your phone number on your chip, you have to figure out how do I log in and what company do I have my chip with. So
it's all there. And so how did you come up with all of it? Did you get a group together of pet owners, or just as your own pet, being a pet person, say, this is cool, this is what I would want?
Yeah. So we didn't do a lot of focus groups early on. We basically, said, what would we like to see? Like, what's the minimum standard? Like, we should be able to pull documents and look at medical records and have histories and photos. And just looking at what other apps and technology was available, we just started cherry picking what we thought was the greatest and wanted to include it.
And it's now it's almost a mix of, if I had to mix it, it's Instagram meets Snapchat meets
Foursquare.
Twitter. It's all of those cool things because you can find people nearby with the pets. You can find photographs and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be a great enhancement for us when we roll it out in fourth quarter of this year.
How do you make money off of something like this?
Well, we don't make money off of the app. And what's nice about our business model is, we have two products. We have a health insurance product for your pet, and then we have the technology product. So our revenue model is based on the insurance side. So we can continue to make the app great and add new features and new releases without having to ever charge for it, have premiums, ads, any of those things.
There are some people who are, they'll say, you're just making money off pet people. I mean, but I get the sense from you that that's not the case. I mean, you're obviously a pet person. You can tell those kinds of companies that are trying to make money off of pet people. Is that prevalent out there that you see that, where you get companies that are not really pet oriented that have an idea that?
I know of. I mean, there's in business, there's a value in exchange versus value in use business model. And value in exchange has always been for insurance. I give you a policy, you give me money. The value is in the exchange of money. Mm-hmm. Well, what's happened in the banking industry is this value in use has become huge. So Venmo, you can share money, right? Cash App. So PayPal owns Venmo. Square owns Cash App. They're offering free. So the value is in the use of the app. They're not charging you for it. They're putting it out there completely for free. And then you look at other other apps that are all value in use. And so what the shift both in the insurance industry and the banking industry and other technology-based industries is value in use. People need to use the app just because they like to use it, not because they're paying you for it.
And then there's sort of just a societal component of this. You talked about pets being property. Illinois is still one of those states that considers pets property. They're, I think, still regulated by the Agriculture Department. But it still blows my mind that companies, including mine, the Tribune Company, offers pet insurance as part of the human resources package.
Yeah. You know, most people don't know that one out of every three Fortune 500 companies in the United States currently offers pet insurance as a supplemental employee benefit. Most of it's passed on as a discount. But BMW, Google, I mean, you name it, huge companies are offering this as a benefit. Again, because we've humanized our pets, and people are always competing now in HR for what's the coolest new benefit.
Yeah. What is it that you had? Were you a technical person? Do you get the app stuff, or do you have to have people that help you do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I'm the techie person who's always had the newest phone and the newest computer and the coolest stuff. I am not a coder. I am not a developer. So mine was more of what would I liked. You know, everything's easy, right? What do you mean you can't do that? You should easily be able to do that. So I was more from a high level of all the things that we should include and then left it to the experts to actually make it work.
Is that part of being a successful CEO is to have a team like that and also trust them to be co-team members?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And it sounds cliche, but, you know, early on, I brought on amazing people. I mean, one of the first people that joined my team and who was helping me way before I even went into 1871 in Chicago was a creative director. And if you look at our videos online and our branding and our mint tags and our blue color, and I mean, he's incredible. And so, you know, he was the first. And people still say in the insurance world, you have a creative director? Because no one in insurance is creative. And then the second person that we brought on was a national sales director who was just incredibly experienced both in technology and processes. So yeah, I always wanted to be, and I still want to be, the dumbest guy in the room.
What is the future, do you think? If you had to predict the next year for FIGO, what would you hope to be? Where would you hope to be?
Wow. You know, as an entrepreneur, you take them in days or weeks.
Yeah.
Especially as a startup. You know, we want to be in this for the long haul. So we're just looking at policy count and premium and how can we grow. I mean, there's some competitors out there in an 8-year time period that have written $100 million in pet insurance premium. So we just, and I tell, one of our mantras is that we would rather not sell a policy than sell a policy and have someone not covered for something. So we're really into transparency. So there's nothing worse than filing a claim and having an insurance company go, oh, you're not covered. Mm-hmm. So I think just really working on our brand and our transparency and communication and our app and adding more features and really becoming, you know, more and more of a presence across the country.
Rusty Sproat, thanks for being with us. So this morning on the Allstate CEO Spotlight, CEO of FIGO Pet Insurance, as you heard him say, a product of 1871 in Chicago. You can find more information, of course, about FIGO at figopetinsurance.com, on Twitter at FIGOPET. And again, Rusty Sproat in the Allstate CEO Spotlight this morning.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Sports, by the way, sponsored by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. College football just around the corner. Join Coach Fitz and the Cats, Ryan Field, this fall. Season tickets on sale now. To purchase, visit nusports.com. Well, if you haven't been to the grocery store cake aisle, snack aisle in a while, it may surprise you that Hostess is back. If you're a big fan of Hostess, like I am, I'll admit it, I'm addicted. Hostess is back, and they're back with a strong showing. They had, this was a company that went bankrupt a number of years ago, but the Twinkies, the Ho-Hos, the Susie Q's, the Ding Dongs, they're all back, and they taste just as good as ever. Writing about all of this and this comeback by Hostess, they've been bought by a new company, taken over. They're actually even started trading again on the New York Stock Exchange last week. It's the writer of many of these articles for Brand Channel, for Forbes, for other magazines. Dale Buss is with us this morning, been writing about that. Hostess, Dale. Dale, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning. Thanks, Steve.
I have to tell you, I went grocery shopping yesterday, and I loaded my cart up with ding-dongs.
Feline Fun.
I love them, and they're back with a vengeance.
Yeah, did you get Key Lime Slime or one of the other new flavors?
Yeah, I saw that in your story, but I did not see those. All I saw was just sort of the regular stuff, so I wonder if they've hit the Chicago market yet.
Possible not. I mean, one of the big developments for Hostess was over the weekend, all the executives were hitting the theaters early to see the new Ghostbusters remake because they had this big marketing deal with the movie, and one aspect of it is that they have a couple of new flavors out there, you know, limited time things. One of it's called Key Lime Slime. Haven't tried it myself, but the other thing was that in the movie there was supposed to be some kind of at least a cameo role for Twinkies. Didn't see the movie myself. Don't know if they actually made the cutting room floor, but the Hostess people were all excited to see that. But regardless of that, and you know, whether Melissa McCarthy downed a few Twinkies in the movie, Hostess is back, and so it's kind of exciting news for those of us who grew up with the little golden sponge cakes and ho-hos and ding-dongs and all that stuff.
Well, for a guy that sees a lot of brands come and go and fail and succeed, you know, Hostess was in ruins, what, in 2012, and now they're back on the New York Stock Exchange, they're trading, they're making money, they're expanding. How did they do it?
Well, yeah, absolutely right. They were in ruins in 2012. They actually were in bankruptcy. And what happened, you know, a few things converged. First of all, you can imagine that the backdrop in our culture, our dietary culture, let's put it that way, for Hostess has not been exactly friendly these days. This is the era of, you know, Kind bars and kale chips and all sorts of other healthy snacks. And Hostess, which is in many people's minds the definition of junk food, you know, it just didn't seem to fit in. Plus, they had really burdensome labor contracts. They had strikes. They had huge pension issues. They had sort of an old-fashioned distribution system, which, you know, added some layers. And you just kind of put all that together, and the company just couldn't make it anymore. But what happened is, after they went into bankruptcy, a turnaround specialist, a guy named Dean Metropoulos, plus a private equity firm, Apollo Global Management, bought the brands, recognize the long-term potential of Hostess, and have done all sorts of things, basic things, basically, to turn them around and put them back in the position. You know, change the labor contracts, centralize distribution, kind of put more money into the product development pipeline. You know, decided to launch things like brownies with M&M and Milky Way pieces. I mean, kind of basic marketing 101 there. And even you've got some healthy Hostess out there. They've got new mini muffins with 8 grams of whole grain. So you put all that kind of stuff together with some clever, you know, digital and social marketing, and voila, the brand is now worth $2.3 billion, and these guys bought it for $400 million.
And when you say a really good social marketing, their Twitter page really is one good recipe after another. I never knew there were recipes for things like Twinkies. There's one on there that I have to try that I guess it's sort of like a sponge cake that you can mix strawberries in. I mean, it's stuff like that that you're sort of gathering, you know, the excitement for your brand that I don't remember the original Hostess ever doing.
Right, exactly. And what they're doing is they're kind of just saying, hey, we're unapologetic. We are Hostess. We are Twinkies. You know, we are that famous product that has so many preservatives in it that probably, you know, will outlast any nuclear apocalypse. You know, that's who we are. And, you know, and there is a place for that. I mean, Americans like their indulgent snacks. Not everything has to be healthy and taste like cardboard. And so, that's what Hostess has done, is figured out that there is a place for us. You know, we do want to be a responsible marketer. You know, we do want to give a nod here to being a little healthier. But basically, this is the snacks that boomers grew up with, and they're trying to make them appeal to millennials as well.
And they're also looking to the future. How are they possibly going to expand or even build on their brand?
Well, as I mentioned, they are, one of the things that they're doing is co-branding, which, you know, is something that so many CPG brands have figured out how to do, but Hostess never really did. So they went to Mars and they said, hey, why don't we combine our luscious brownies with your, you know, really popular and iconic candy brands like Milky Way? We'll throw them together. We'll have something to market there. Another thing they're doing is, you mentioned, you know, social media, but they're actually, they're doing an effective job of engaging the millennial generation in discovering Hostess. For instance, they had a contest. They're bringing back Suzy Q's. That's one of the things that Hostess had not done over the last couple of years that they're doing now. So they said, let's have a contest. Let's have people tweet, you know, their best pitches for bringing back Suzy Q's. And then they picked several of those tweets and decided to put them on the actual packages of Suzy Q's when they brought them back. So they're just kind of figuring it out, how to make this brand relevant in the modern era.
Dale, for those of us who don't have any other vices like drinking or smoking, and Hostess happens to be mine, I'm going to be unapologetic about it, all right, if that's okay with you?
Good for you in the spirit of the brand. What's your favorite?
Oh, I love Zingers. Zingers are my favorite, followed by Ding Dongs, yeah. And they taste just like the other ones, so they must have gotten the old recipes, right?
Oh, yeah, they had all the old recipes, trademarks, brands, and, you know, it's just a matter of, it's a business turnaround story. It's also kind of an encouraging bit of Americana that this, you know, really proud company and brands are still around.
Dale Buss is the writer. You can follow him at Dale D. Buss on Twitter. You can also follow Hostess Snacks at Hostess_snacks. Dale, thanks for being with us on the Opening Bell this morning.
You bet, Steve.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 552 on the WGN market desk this morning. Dow futures are pointing up just barely, though, about 16 points. The S&P NASDAQ futures higher as well overseas. European markets turning lower mostly, and in Asia, mixed numbers there. Let's get the latest on commodities now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Looking back at the cash hog market in the Midwest last Friday, some confusion among hog farmers and merchants wondering why packers seem to be cutting back on processing numbers. Normally, when they get highly profitable margins, they ramp up processing, and Friday's average pork packer margins estimated at $25.75 a head, up from $16.70 a week ago. But we were 50 cents to a dollar lower in the Friday trade in the Midwest. And in futures trading at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, the July contract expired at noon. August, the new lead contract finished 67 cents lower at $77.92. Then taking a look at the grain trade, a lot of funds getting out because as we looked at the CFTC numbers after the market closed, non-commercial traders cut their net long position in corn futures to 14,216 contracts. That's down nearly 93,000 from the previous week. And it was a red screen in the grain market with wheat, corn, soybeans all ending the day lower on Friday. Well, the county fair season in the Chicagoland area gets underway this week with the opening of the Kane County Fair. That's located on Randall Road in St. Charles. It opens its gates on Wednesday and it runs through Sunday. Your chance to enjoy a great county fair. Have a good day. I'm Orion Samuels.
All right, Orion, you have a good day as well. Just a couple of final notes as we wrap up the opening bell here. One update to a story that we've been following very closely for you, and that is the self-driving car from Tesla. Over the weekend, the owner and CEO of Tesla, Elon Musk, said that he was optimistic that the automatic software updates that were sent out over the air will improve the semi-autonomous autopilot system in the company's cars, now blamed for even more wrecks. One fatal crash. Musk says he gets the impression after conferring with the German supplier Bosch, which makes its radar sensors, that Tesla's changes will work. All of these software updates will work. The changes come since the Model S sedans failed to sense a tractor trailer and bright sun crashed into it. The driver was killed. Also, just quickly, the week ahead on our calendar, it'll be a big week for company earnings. Bank of America, Netflix, and Yahoo kick things off when they announce quarterly results today. Johnson & Johnson, Microsoft, American Express, Visa, and Starbucks are among the big companies turning in results later this week, so it'll be busy from that standpoint.
from the government, investors can expect a report on housing starts for June. Construction of new homes has, for the most part, improved this year, though it did nudge down a bit in May. The Commerce Department also releases the latest data tomorrow. So a big week coming up. That's the opening bell. We'll continue to follow your money throughout the morning here on 720 WGN through the Steve Cochran Show. And we'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning with another edition of the opening bell. Our show's producer is Mary Sandberg. Assistant producer is Bennett Wakenight. And Ben Cortez is our engineer.